This episode is brought to you by CLA.
Here's your money briefing for Thursday, March 7th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Bigger isn't always better. That's how some banking customers see things. Many are ending their relationships with large banks in the hopes that a smaller bank will better serve their needs.
The biggest thing that actually gets people to move is really customer service. You would think that would be rates because everyone's interested in more money, but usually it takes a big incident to make people realize that they're fed up and they're actually going to go through the process of switching bank accounts, because that can be a pretty tedious process.
We'll talk to Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Amani Moise after the break.
When it comes to planning for the future, taxes and wealth advisory tend to be viewed as two separate conversations, but some things are just better together. That's why at Clifton Larson Allen, they call it TWELFT. Here's Clayton Bland, Chief Wealth Advisory Officer at CLA.
More often than not, all of the decision-making around the tax relationship are predicated on things that have happened in the past. An investment advisory relationship would be something that's looking at, hey, what are your future goals? How can we allocate capital to help you achieve those goals? So when we talk about 12, tax and wealth together, that's really what we provide at CLA with that combination of both professionals. It provides for the necessary information to make the decision that will have the best impact on you, both from a goal standpoint of my portfolio and also from a tax consequence standpoint of when I file my tax return.
Visit CLAconnect.com for more insights from Clifton Larson Allen. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Investment advisory services are offered through Clifton Larson Allen Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Some people have become frustrated with large banks and are switching to smaller ones. Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Amani Moise joins me to discuss. Amani, why are larger banks falling out of favor with some customers?
Some customers are just starting to get frustrated and they're feeling like they're getting lost as banks get bigger. They're finding that it's hard to get the attention of anyone at customer service. And some customers are looking around and seeing that they can get a better deal if they move their money around.
So what do they see in smaller banks specifically that makes them more attractive?
It's a mix of just convenience, better rates, and customer service. Smaller banks tend to pay higher yields on savings products and charge lower fees on things like loans or just maintenance fees and things of that nature. So whether you're looking to save money or you're just looking for a better, more high-touch customer service, that's what's bringing people to these banks.
You spoke to some people who actually did move their money to smaller banks. What do they tell you was the reason behind that?
The biggest thing that actually gets people to move is really customer service. You would think that would be rates because everyone's interested in more money, but usually it takes a big incident to make people realize that they're fed up and they're actually going to go through the process of switching bank accounts, because that can be a pretty tedious process, and setting up your recurring payments, things like that. In one case, there was a mistake where a deposit was credited twice, leaving an extra $150,000 in this account. And it was still so hard to get customer service to pay attention that it took 6 months to get the error reversed.
What kind of growth has this shift meant for this segment of the banking industry, the smaller banks?
I think it's important to point out that in terms of the entire banking system, this change is very small. And that's because the percentage of assets that belong to community banks is relatively small compared to the national banks or the super regionals. But when you're talking about the smaller banks, it could be a meaningful shift in business. Community banks as a whole only take up a fraction of a percentage point more assets. To that community bank, it could be a 4% increase in deposits or a 7% increase in loans.
But how easy is it to find a smaller bank to move your money to?
A lot of these businesses are referral-based, so it's based on word of mouth, but there are resources to make it easier if you're interested in switching. For example, there's banklocally.com, which is a website hosted by the Trade Association for Community Banks. But once you go there, you can put in your zip code, and it'll bring up a list of all of the closest community banks near you.
Some large banks fall into the category of too big to fail. Do customers of smaller banks face the risk that those banks could fail?
it's important to note that failure is a risk for any bank, even the big ones. It's not technically guaranteed that the government's going to step in and bail out depositors, even though we've seen that historically. And also historically, you have seen smaller banks fail more commonly, but bank failures have been so rare. It's been a very long time since depositors have really lost money on a bank failure. And data shows that whether or not a bank fails has less to do with its size. There's not really a structural difference between big banks and small banks that makes small banks riskier. The only reason that small banks are more likely to fail is because they're perceived as less likely to be bailed out by the government.
How are the big banks responding to some customers moving their money to smaller ones?
So the U.S. is the most competitive banking system in the world with more than 4,000 banks. The big banks are used to competing. And community banks have always been tough competition when it comes to local deposits because of their deep ties to the communities that they serve. When I talked to the big banks, really, they said that they look forward to continuing to compete. And even if they're not the right institution for a customer at a certain time, if they grow and get a little bit bigger, maybe it's a better fit then.
If someone is thinking about moving their money to a smaller bank, how can they gauge the strength of that bank and whether their money would be safe?
Rather than trying to turn into a bank analyst, which can be very complicated and a lot of people go through a lot of training to figure that stuff out, is you should just try to understand the way that FDIC insurance works. It does not matter how a bank is structured so long as you make sure that your bank is FDIC insured and that you keep a balance that is underneath the insured limits. So for most individuals on a single account, that would be $250,000. So you could put $1 million in four different community banks, and that could all be insured.
So what does that FDIC protection do for a bank?
When you put your money in a bank, it's not going into a safe or a vault. The bank is actually taking that money and investing it so that they can make money, but that money is still yours. Sometimes when things go badly, the bank doesn't have enough money to pay its depositors back. And when people feel like they can't get their money back, that's when people try to pull their money out, and it leads to a banking crisis. That's kind of what we saw with Silicon Valley Bank last year. So the federal government stepped in with FDIC insurance to say, hey, don't worry. If you put up to a certain amount of money in a bank, we will make sure that you get that money back. That's the government stamp of approval saying that your money is safe here.
That's WSJ reporter Amani Moise. And that's it for your Money Briefing. We'll be back tomorrow morning with WSJ's Caitlin Ostroff to discuss how some Bitcoin holders plan to invest after the cryptocurrency hit new intraday records. This episode was produced by Ariana Osperu, with supervising producer Melanie Roy. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by CLA.